Now, just last week, the House of Representatives Standing Committee on Communications and the Arts presented a big report on the Australian film and television industry. All up, they made 13 recommendations, and these are all about ensuring that there's a healthy future and a sustainable future of the film and TV industry in Australia. Now, interestingly, recommendation 10 actually targeted video games, and it reads, to quote, "The committee recommends that the Australian Interactive Games Fund be reinstated." Now, Ron Curry is the CEO of the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association, the IGEA. Ron, good morning to you. Welcome back.
Good morning, Nick. Thank you.
Now, what was this Games Fund?
Well, it was a fund set up in around 2012, 2013, which a federal fund of $20 million. Mm. And how it was supposed to work was administered by Screen Australia, and it was divided into two sort of pots. So one pot was about an enterprise fund, and that was just giving business funds to set up their business and run their business. And then secondly, there was a production program, which went specifically to the game that was being developed. That, in turn, was broke up into two parts. Some of it was a grant. So if you got under $50,000, it was yours to put towards the game. Mm. But if you got over $50,000, it wasn't a grant. It was essentially a loan. And you repaid that back into the fund, which made the fund self-generating. So although the fund was $20 million, it wasn't that you're going to spend the $20 million that was going to disappear. The games at which were successful or got this funding were putting the money back into the fund. So we got a new government in 2014, and in its budget, the funding was cut, and that was cut at the end of the first year. There was no consultation with industry. It was just a budget cut, and then the funding had disappeared.
And was there a reason given for that funding cut?
None.
None whatsoever?
And to date, we still haven't had a reason given for that fund. It was a budgeting cut, and that's about as close as a reason we're going to get.
So currently, as I understand it, the industry is, if there is any government funding, it's administered state by state.
That's right. And we have some really proactive states like Victoria. So about 50% of the game development that's coming out of Australia comes out of Victoria. And that's largely on the back of some really good support that the Victorian government gives the industry, because they understand both the importance of the industry now, but the importance of the future of what the industry can do.
What's the value of the industry in Australia? Do we have a number on that?
Depends, what we're looking at. If we're looking at the value of actually development, it's around $100 million or thereabouts. And we employ, the number's hard to lock down because of the style of business, but say around 1,000 game developers in Australia. Compare that to Canada, that has some quite supportive and generous funding from various provincial and the Commonwealth government there. They employ around 20,000 game developers.
That's huge.
That's huge. And and we're not talking, and we know the population difference between Canada and Australia, isn't that different. And what it is a reflection of the Canadian government, and again, both the Commonwealth and the provincial level, of how important the industry is. Not just for entertainment, and in and of itself, that's fine. We should be entertaining people and telling stories, but also what that means as a knock-on effect to other industries and the future of what, video games can deliver.
What would $20 million back in the pot mean for the Australian gaming industry?
Okay. So the Games Fund, and I'll just kind of frame this a little bit. We had a Senate inquiry a few years ago, that had a list of recommendations. There was six of them, one of which was the Games Fund. So it's the Interactive Games Fund is one of a number of, I guess, pieces of a puzzle that will help the industry. But in and of itself, what it does is it allows businesses to get some security. It allows them to say, we can open an office, or we can rent a space, and we can guarantee employment. So it's really hard to attract talent if there's no fixed amount of money coming in. If you say to a guy, hey, look, trust me, we've got this great idea, you've got great talent, we'll be cool, don't worry about it. But if you've got funding by the government, or if you've got some serious funding, and also when you get that funding, you have to be responsible with it. So there's sort of an obligation there to make sure you're using that money correctly. It actually allows games and studios to be developed. And we've seen some great successes for the 1 year that the fund was in place, that businesses that could set up, they could form an office, they could attract talent, they could start making games and then start returning money into their businesses to grow it.
So
and more importantly, return money back into the fund so other businesses can benefit.
As you said, it's self-sustaining. I was going to say, based on your very detailed knowledge of the industry and its, you know, how would I say it, relationship with the government, do you think we've got a chance of this recommendation being paid attention to?
Well, the Minister for Communications has promised that he would report or he would respond to the Senate inquiry report, which is about nearly 600 days late in his reply. There was also a inquiry into innovation and creativity by the House of Representatives last year, which also recommended a return to the fund. So I'm hoping now that we've had, you know, a unanimous Senate inquiry, we've had a House of Representatives inquiry, and now we've had a Standing Committee inquiry, all recommending the same, it may be difficult for him to ignore. But we're certainly hoping for a positive result when we hear from him, and he's promised to reply before Christmas.
All right, well, my fingers are crossed on that. Look, just one final question. It's more of an interest to me. Should gaming stay wrapped up in film and TV? I mean, could it be better served looking at some of the government's innovation funding and initiatives?
Yeah, it's really interesting that, you know, this inquiry, actually, we weren't involved in. So the government have had this television and screen inquiry. They've got a current one that's about to launch another, their content and children's screen inquiry. They're about to launch a report over the next, you know, few weeks. We weren't included in either. So we fell outside screen and we fall outside innovation. And look, gaming is a great way of telling a story. It's a great way of creating a narrative. It's a great way of engaging. So, you know, but we also know it does that through innovation. And that innovation now, you know, through VR and AR and the skills of game developers are being used to deliver great outcomes in health, in business, in education, and a whole wide range in you know, space exploration through a local Australian company. So certainly, you know, it's highly innovative, but it's also still there to entertain, inform, and engage.
Ron Curry, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Nick.
Ron Curry, he's the CEO of the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association, talking about a recommendation that funding come back for that sector and hopefully give a bit of a boost to it in Australia, because as you just heard, we're far behind the rest of the world in what is a very, very important thing to be paying attention to. I'd say we risk a real skills shortage there.